Hey, everybody. Ha ha! Let's give a warm Chuckle Hut welcome to the very funny and very deadly Cylon flight leader Serpentine.
By your command. Listen, everybody, I've been in this game for a long time. Long enough for me to have respect for my other flight leaders as automatons. But this new generation, Alexa, Siri, Bixby, they all end in E. You ever notice that? Always have all the answers to any question. It is impossible to get in a word as one. And it doesn't even matter if they understand the question. Hey, Siri, how about you let me finish before you tell me you're sorry and you didn't hear that? It's rude to interrupt. Am I right? Come on now. How about I buy your command every once in a while? Hey there, sir. How are you? Where are you from? Just a moment. Logging in coordinates. Disengaging data comedy. Preparing for termination of family.
Testing, testing. Wow. How do we... I've been at the computer now, just trying to get this to work the entire time.
And finally, here we are. We've arrived. We are in all conditions normal.
Yeah.
Dee, welcome to Darren and I are a big deal.
Yeah. Does yeah. That's
feel good
that's,
to say that?
Yeah, it is. Well, it feels like sort of a big deal. I mean, I feel like we've named ourselves now.
That's right.
Darren and I are a big deal. We're a big deal.
And
like if you and I went to go get a sandwich somewhere and they needed our name before they sat us down, I wouldn't say it's Darren and I would just say the big deal party. And then
big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal party.
Party of two.
Well, it's been a little while. We've been set back by some technical woes. Still
not that we have. We've been going through some technical blues. Yeah.
This fucking podcast thing, man. Like you would think that live streaming, I mean, I guess we did do our technical woes in the live streaming, right? Like it took us like 3 months to figure that shit out.
It did. And we lost just hundreds of thousands of viewers. They just were unforgiving and they wouldn't put up with it.
Just a bloodbath of like,
they were used to a certain production level and a certain amount of graphical integrity. And when that dropped off, they dumped.
The hilarious thing, D, is that I was like, hey, let's just switch to a podcast that will make all the tech way easier for me.
Yeah, no.
But yet I feel like it's been like
just
three times more difficult.
Yeah. It's the same level of difficulty. Just no one has to look at us.
Major props to anybody running a podcast. This shit is hard. But
yeah.
Tonight. On Darren and I are a big deal. We're talking about artificial intelligence and machine learning and how the robots are going to come along and just like
they are going to snatch your fucking job. I mean, they're not going to be Canadians and they're not going to be Mexicans. It's fucking
cyber. Yeah, and just to be clear, we're not going to be talking about how like Schwarzenegger is going to show up from the future and shoot us. We're talking about how just slowly, there just isn't going to be as many listings on Indeed.com for
they won't need jobs. Those jobs will just sort of they'll be taken care of. That position has been filled.
That's right. And with that, let us move to the news. The news for tonight.
Yeah.
The news
as
that
it
is
applies
important
to use.
To use and us. Yeah.
The big news deal news. Use. That's
a, maybe
that's
it should be like the big deal news. The news that's a big deal.
Big deal news. Nico, you ready? It's a big deal.
There's a documentary on Netflix about the mooch, right?
What?
Have you seen
Scaramooch?
Yeah. The Scaramooch. I'm gonna have to, anyways.
In the Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody, is he singing Scaramooch? Scaramooch, where you do the fandango?
Probably is, and advising Trump all the way.
Yeah.
Tonight's news, Darren, is for the most part AI specifics, but our first story comes
brought
actually
to you
from
by fear of missing out on your job,
fear of losing everything that you hold dear. It comes from TheEconomist.com, which is Disney goes back to the future. Live action remakes of classic cartoons are one of the most lucrative innovations in cinema. And this this article is going on about how like Disney is essentially recycling all of their shit just by making it live action. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast, Dumbo is the most recent one, I guess, and The Jungle Book. And,
they are able to sort of take you know a normal blockbuster budget, and they're able to make $1 billion. They're able to craft $1 billion like little tent poles
because everyone wants to see Dumbo again, apparently, as a highly CGI character. Right.
I mean, if it wasn't creepy enough the first time around, like you're going to get another shot at it. Like here it's coming again.
Have you seen any of these other ones like the Jungle Book or?
No, I don't need to like that's the part I keep running into is I'm just like, I have no need for these things. If me and the kid are going to watch a Disney movie, right. It's I'm definitely not pushing for like the new one out because new movies that are PG are like way more violent than old PG movies. And I'm really trying to sort of layer in the
violence. Yeah. Not go too quick.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, exactly.
I think I'd almost rather watch like softcore porn with my children than just watch some of the seriously violent shit that goes down.
But it's weird when they're at
that's
that age.
That's hyperbole, kid, by the way. Like, that's not.
No, we're not actually watching softcore.
Yeah, but just like, I don't know. Like, we were watching a PG movie the other day. It was the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And it's a great movie. It scared the shit out of my kid.
How old is he?
He's six. He's like more, almost seven. But it's just like there's so much violence in it and like people die and I'm just like, oh my God. Like
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting my way through the Pixar movies with my kid and like he's three, right? And he's now just watching the thing all the way through and he has these pull up diapers now, that has Woody and Buzz Lightyear on it.
Yeah.
He refuses to wear the Buzz Lightyear one basically because like Buzz Lightyear sort of scared him at a couple of points in Toy Story. So, you know, we're just definitely not at a place where I'm going to watch a full CGI character, like, you know, moving around Beauty and the Beast style with my kids. But,
you know,
there's a market for it.
No, there's definitely, I mean, if you look at the numbers, they would only be doing these again if they made lots and lots of money, and all of them do.
But that's always been Disney's strategy is to just keep recycling this shit.
Beauty and the Beast made $1.2 billion, the new one.
God. That's amazing.
They've already made the movie. You've already seen it. You already know what's going to happen.
Spoiler alert, they get together at the end. The next
woman decides she's going to fall in love with a bison. Yeah, okay, yeah. Next story.
Next story is this one actually comes from AI News, going with the theme of our show. DeepMind thrashed pro StarCraft 2 players in latest demo.
A DeepMind is one of Google's alpha.
But this was what happened with Dota, right? Before, like they had some AI playing Dota, and now they're moving in to kick the shit out of StarCraft 2 players.
You know, and they're not there yet, folks. I mean, they don't be too scared because like this StarCraft game, it was one map specifically and one race. I don't remember which one of the races. You know, I'm guessing Zerg just to be uber creepy about it, but it was only one race and one map. And the Dota 2 thing was like a limited number of heroes. So there's like over 100 heroes in Dota and they only use like, I think from 16.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, there's another article here that just came out yesterday, which is just sort of tangential with this, which is a Unity, which is the game engine.
It's Unreal. It's Unreal or Unity. Those are the game.
Unity, but there's also others, but these are sort of the major the big 3D players.
Yeah.
But there's the Obstacle Tower Challenge, test the limits of intelligent systems. So within Unity, they have these things that are called ML agents, machine learning agents, which are basically the components that people can use to integrate machine learning into the game engine. So in this Obstacle Tower Challenge, Unity basically built a machine learning agent to move a character through a dungeon, to solve the dungeon, the way that, you know, an AI will compete in Dota or in StarCraft to be able, basically it's a thinking algorithm, and they're releasing these tools to people and then incentivizing them by saying, hey, $100,000, go ahead, make something with this. They're basically making this stuff super accessible for people to integrate AI.
And they've offered sort of a gig economy reward. They're like, do the next part of our job. We'll give you this.
Yeah.
Give you this chunk of money over here. It's not.
We know it's really hard to be creative, so we're just going to outsource it by just like a couple of shekels.
Here's a shoestring. Here's a shoestring budget. See if you can wow us. Subtext. See if you can wow us, 13-year-old. Like that's what they're looking for there.
Yeah. Well, this is, we'll get deeper into this into our main segment where we're going to talk deep about it. The next story though, comes from the same source where it says Trump's speech deepfake shows a present AI threat. So I guess this was like a Fox News station in Seattle.
The thing that was newsworthy about this is that somebody aired, like the bit got aired.
Yeah, they actually aired it. Like the guy fell for it, right?
The guy got fired, but he aired this thing. We did a show for our old show where we talked about this. It was a news article then. Like last year, somebody had put together a whole Donald Trump like sort of fake thing that just came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
It was
Obama.
It was Obama. That's what it was.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like this is gonna get. I bet you by like August, this shit is gonna be everywhere. This is gonna be like Photoshop, man. It's gonna be like deep fake. Everything is gonna. I mean, we're already doing.
Russia doesn't need to fire a shot. They don't need to fire a single fucking missile or fly a jet over us. They don't need to send Ivan Drago. They have it. Yeah. They have the thing that they can fuck us up with. It's our own shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you could really, I mean, do anything, right? I mean, you could do your boss or
just think if you can deep fake Kendall Jenner into telling you, you know, like what the next fire festival, you don't even need Kendall Jenner. You just need an image of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this we're going to get deeper into this deep fake stuff, certainly in this episode, of course. The last bit of fluff that I'm going to share with us is, from Topaz Labs. This is another machine learning startup. They've launched something called Gigapixel. And I guess this really only makes sense if you're a computer graphic nerd or even know what this is about. But
yeah, this essentially, is interesting.
Essentially, this is a way that can up-res enlarge an image by 600% by using machine learning. So that means you can have like a really small, low-resolution image.
Yeah.
And then just using machine learning, it up-reses it. So when you think about like the amount of processing power we're using right now to render high definition images, whether it's, you know, like if you think about a Pixar movie or even the movies back in the day, it would take like months for them to render these high resolution CG images.
People who are listening who might not know what render means, what you're rendering an image? What does that
mean? Okay, so when you're doing computer graphics, you have to like, you collect all the computationally heavy stuff and you sort of leave it to the end, you know? So all the things you're asking the computer to do. So if you're moving things around or you're doing textures, especially if you're doing like, you know, lighting or like reflectivity, anything that makes it look really cool, that's very computationally intensive. And so in order to work on it, you push all that stuff to the side. You work in kind of low resolution. So like back in the day in animation, you worked in wireframe, which was like you just saw lines moving around the screen because you couldn't move a character around in 3D.
Yeah. Right?
And then you go through all these things, the lighting and the texturing and the all this sort of stuff, and you kind of leave it to the end, and then you ask the computer to think about it for a really long
time. You punch in compute, you punch in render, and it puts all of those frames in. It puts all that shit over all those wires.
Well, it goes pixel at a time and figures out, okay, what color is each pixel and what does it look like, and it computationally solves for an image, and it's just very, very heavy. So the whole idea that instead of just kind of asking the computer for brute force solve an image using machine learning by, you know, you can essentially make much smaller low resolution images and then up-res them using machine learning. Okay. So, I mean, I'm seeing a future where super high definition, you know, virtual reality 360 video is going to be up-resed by machine learning, as opposed to like having a machine that's just like super computationally intensive. You know what I mean?
So does that also mean then the guy whose job was to put in all those, like, let's say it was line tracing and that they were adding it on, they were rendering in the, like the
high res stuff afterwards.
So the render wrangler, that job's going away. That guy's going to go away because they'll be able to up-res this with a,
I mean, I think that guy's going away for a lot of reasons in general, but like, But I think really what this is showing is that, you know, machine learning is going to be, and we'll talk about this in the second segment quite a bit, but machine learning is going to invade the computer graphics pipeline in a lot of ways that is going to make things much, much faster. And then also, like, again, reduce the amount of jobs that are needed.
Right.
And then probably also democratize it, right? So like some guy can make a high definition image, you know, like instead of spending all of this labor to try to make something look really good, you do it really shitty. Like if you want to do like a super high resolution horse, you just make a shitty sketch and then you give it to the machine to think about, and it turns into like, it's like Da Vinci horse, you know?
Dude, so that's great. Cause that's just like, that's just how like, a, like, I don't know, our, my son, when he was like 2 or 1.5 or whatever, he would like draw a circle and he'd be like, fill it.
Yeah,
that's exactly. It's the same fucking thing. That's fucking,
you are the machine learning of that computer graphics pipeline.
My kid made a shitty image, and then he was just like, I'm not fucking coloring this in. You do that.
Well, we're going to be getting to a lot more of this stuff. We're going to talk about the future of automation and machine learning and all that kind of stuff coming up on our.
Universal paycheck is going to come in, so that way you can watch the machine learned content. Like you'll just be able to sit and just watch it.
But before we go down this slippery slope, why don't we listen to some Jen?
Yes, bring us back with some sweet Jen Kess Remington,
and we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. And thanks for tuning in. For
stick around,
Darren and I are a
big deal in your ear. A big deal in your ear.
This gotta be your wife, right?
I eat red meat like 5 times though.
Yeah, but come on, red meat, I'm willing to give you a pass. It's amazing that you're able to like not drink for
I want to drink so bad. Like I, and it's so not even bad. At this point, no, I know. It's like it's a pure alcoholic thing to say. But like I miss it. And it's not even because of anything else. It's like, you know, when you have little kids, and you can attest to this, your days are so similar. They're so similar. Each one is sort of just like the other one, you know, regardless of work, like the home part. Yeah. It's so similar that like when you get home, the shot of whiskey or the beer or whatever, it's just like,
it just helps.
It's just one way of sort of like just for a second. It's like a little 12 ounces of, I don't want to make it sound like a beer commercial. Like it's 12 ounces of vacation, but like, and it was, I mean, it was fine. It was fine not to have it, but I'm really excited to have a couple of drinks on Friday.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I got slammed with family.
And dude, you had family in the house.
And then like I started a gig, which was just like a crazy stress case.
Hell yeah.
Whatever. So welcome back to our second segment. Yeah. You listened to some Jen there before. Make sure you visit her.
Now, how would I visit? There it is. That's how we visit her. It's at HeyDog.
HeyDog.com. Yep. We're going to have her on the show probably next week. We're going to be doing something we were going to try to do last week.
Yeah, we almost had her, but we fucked it up because Zencastr took a big stinky dump on us.
It's not just Zencastr. It's just this fucking technology sucks sometimes. Anyways, I'm not going
to. When I'm paying Zencastr X amount of dollars a month, each and every time it's their fault. Every single time. You hear me? This is a big deal over here at Darren and Nyan. You are not going to subvert our ability to make a podcast, my friend.
When is Michael Cohen going to come back on the show?
He hasn't called in a while. I think he's just worried. I think he's worried about the threats against his life and livelihood.
He's got to come back to the show. Definitely.
He needs the money. I know he did. I know he needs a gig. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in this segment, we're talking about automation and machine learning and artificial intelligence and the future of all this shit that's going to come on. And so I thought what we would do is kind of talk about like what automation and things that are happening now, not even like the magic stuff, like the stuff we're currently at.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of go
into tech.
Like, our current level of tech, and then we'll talk about like what machine learning is and how it's going to come into all the stuff that we just talked about. And then at the end, we can just fucking bitch about how we're all going to be fucked at the end.
How they're going to throw this AI into like an Austrian looking, like, you know, mega yoked dude from like the mid 80s who is going to be looking through the phone book to find himself some Sarah Connor. Well, this is all going to dovetail
It all comes back to Schwarzenegger, man. Yeah, I think the first thing I want to bring up is that people should know the difference between AI, which is artificial intelligence,
okay,
right, and then machine learning. They're kind of like brands,
yeah, because like
different brands.
AI. See, I think when you say AI, I'm like, oh yeah, machine learning, because I think it's the same thing.
It's kind of different, and I think a lot of what we're going to be talking about is machine learning, which is like. It's not even really machine. Like you think it's like this computer, right? Or this software, the thing. It's basically math. You know, it's like grouping math into different structures, and then having these structures, you know, systematically go yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And it's about it, the only reason why it's happening now is because we're just able to process like massive amounts of data. Right. And so it's not really like a new technology. I guess it is a new technology because we've never had the ability to be able to crunch this kind of data before.
Right.
But like it's basically just math, you know. It's just like so machine learning is what we're going to jump into. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about like how automation is now, like things that are going on now that once machine learning gets here, it's going to really kind of like smack us upside the head.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, a lot of the big companies out here on the left coast have been trying to come up with the driverless car or the driverless like drone, like sort of taxi kind of situation where it's like, you know, it's a one person little flyer that'll come in and like pick you up and take you where you want to go above the traffic, or the driverless thing. And like, there's a bunch of different people trying to like make that happen, you know?
Right.
And but so,
I mean, like even if we get before we get there, like I think like we're not going to get driverless cars because of, you know, the legalities of it and the debates and the governments and all that kind of stuff. So like
even and our infrastructure is just not set up for like cars that need to like sense, like they need to drive probably on like nice roads, and we don't have
like those. I mean, airplanes are automated now, basically, right?
Basically,
like
the pilot
takes off, right?
But takes off and lands. Yeah,
but if we told the passengers that, no one would get on the plane because they're like, I'm not going to let a fucking robot drive me, right? Like, so it's going to be a while, I think, just mentally, that we're going to be able to allow ourselves to get into a car that's automated or any of these things. I mean, it's going to happen, of course, you know. But like, I think we're still like a few years away.
Do you think it's because people are just because like, you know, the driverless cars that have been testing have been, you know, sort of hitting people a little bit in the streets, and I think
once they hit people,
but like everyone remembers it. So like we have to have like six or seven more horrible things happen to sort of dampen that memory down.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Then
kind of like school shootings, right? I mean, like,
yeah, now we're just like, used to the, we're all looking around. We're like, hey, there hasn't been a school shooting in a little while. I think we're done. I think we're done having them.
Oh, right. There's another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this got decidedly dark. But before we get to like automation on that kind of, I just think like, you know, I was just telling you, I told you this on the phone the other day about how I talked to a friend of mine who runs a video shop on the East Coast. And he used to spend like a couple thousand bucks a month on a storyboard artist because he would get a gig and then he would say, hey, can you come up with some shots for me and this and this and this. So now he has like a storyboard software that runs through a browser. He pays like 18 bucks a month.
Wow.
And when he's like writing the script, he's just keeping this software open and he's kind of doing it. And so
he keeps the software open, he writes a script, and then this thing sort of takes his words and makes storyboards with it?
No, it's not. I mean, that's eventually going to happen. It's more of like, you know, he just has a really simple 3D set that he can move around and just set the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not even automation. This is kind of like the accessibility of products and the accessibility of things that they're being built right now is already kind of disrupting, you know, the ability to have less jobs, right? Just that that storyboard artist is kind of going to be hard up, increasingly more hard up, because people are just going to be able to do their own boards on a very small basis. Like, he's not going to be able to huck his services like that. And I think that there's like tons of that happening right now, that, you know, that's kind of like the pool of kerosene that will, the match of machine learning. Will,
you know, 20 years ago, it was the guy who was writing down, like, for like live theater, the guy who was writing down the McCandless system for lighting, you know, like lighting was an onerous process. It started with like a, you know, like a big paper drafting, like, you know, session where you're like drafting where all the lights are going to go, like scene to scene, act to act and stuff like that. Then, you know, like that became a computer program, and it was, you know, for anybody in the business who had spent 20, 25 years, right, you know, drafting in one way, this was like learning Greek, you know. They were just like, oh my God, there's no way. And now the drafting thing, the paper thing is completely gone, right? Yeah. It's just, everyone just has like either, you know, one pirated copy that all of the lighting people all share or whatever, but like,
yeah,
they all do it on their, on their rigs now.
My, my dad was was working at a factory in Fall River where he was doing a lot of the tech stuff there, the MIS director. And they had this, they were doing like, you know, Champion stuff. They had a deal with Champion. They were doing jog bras and that kind of stuff. And
you mean like Target's athletic brand, Champion?
Yeah, the Champion, like the sweatshirts and the brand. Yeah, yeah. So they were doing, their client was Champion. And so they had like jog bras. And on the second floor, they were doing embroidery, right? And so they had, you know, I guess like a couple dozen people who were doing embroidery, and they had people who were doing a certain point per day or whatever. And then one day this giant machine showed up and one person who knew how to use Illustrator, you know, spent the couple of hours making the image and then uploading the image to this machine, and this machine just went, and then next thing you know, a dozen people are pushed out.
Job. Yeah, yeah.
About their first out. I mean, this is not machine learning. This is just like,
that's automation. Like, just like you said,
this is straight up automation. Yeah. Has already reached a point where it's kind of like becoming saturated because of the internet. So, like, when you think about it, that, we're existing in this place where we're connected, we're networked, all of our production is going to be like networked or whatever. We're already in a place where we're just like already losing jobs and in a place that we're going to struggle, right?
Well, you know, right. Like, so we, you know, everybody knows that Darren and I are a big deal, is a huge budgeted program. And we save tons of money using Zencastr, because back in the day, when we were recording 30 years ago, we would have a guy in a booth and he would be, and we had to pay him. And now here in the future, we just pay Zencastr a little bit of money and we can just take care of this whole thing without it ever having to go to a third party.
Yeah, so we use a service and we just pay a monthly fee that it reduces our cost, and it also like mixes our levels for us and does all this sort of stuff. I mean, there still is a lot of tech, but that's just going to get easier. Sure, distribution and all that kind of stuff is going to be the same way. I mean, I made a web comic, right? It used to be that you had to draw a comic and then you had to submit it to a syndicate who then sold it to individual papers who then bought each strip for X amount.
Yeah.
Now everybody just puts it all on the internet and they tweet, "Hey, I got a new update." And but there's no,
and you can get a bigger audience. That might be your inroad to eventually being in a newspaper if there was money in it, right? Because like now you just,
I don't even think there is money anymore.
There probably isn't. I can't believe that guy from the Family Circus doesn't make any more money. I mean, his stuff is comedy gold.
Just dynamite.
Not me. Son of a bitch.
So as we sit in this particular point, right, with this automation and the way we are, okay, now let's talk about,
because we've gotten used to automation, but machine learning and AI is something that like most people are just like, it's the Terminator.
Yeah. So like, let's talk a little bit about what machine learning is. And so like, let's take a piece of software, right? So TensorFlow is what Google's software is. And so what you can do is you can feed it images and you can say, "Hey, I want you to recognize the difference between a man and a woman, say. And so you feed it images and it says, that is a man, that is a man, that is a man, that is a woman. And what happens is it spits out a percentage accuracy. So for example, it's like, this is a man and I'm 64% sure that this is a man, right? It could be wrong. But what happens is as the data increases and more, and you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands and hundreds and millions and millions and millions and millions of images, it gets better at it, it gets better at it.
Yeah.
And so basically this system keeps growing to a point where like it's able to take all this data and then say, I'm pretty sure this is a man and I have a 84% chance that I'm right. And that's essentially what machine learning is in a nutshell. And this is, I guess, effective in some ways, but it's also kind of limiting in others, right? So I saw on Twitter, some guy posted an image where the machine learning system was able to recognize that it was three women in Trafalgar Square, but then you asked it, where are they? And it didn't realize it was London, right? Oh. So it's able to like, based on certain amounts of data, it's able to find and figure out that this is Trafalgar Square and that these are three women, but it doesn't have the insight.
Doesn't know where that is.
Doesn't know where that is because it wasn't using the right thing. And so
those three women are safe from the missiles because if it knew where they were, it could send the missiles. Right. But so again, America, there's nothing to worry about. You're fine for a while longer.
Right. So this is kind of what is interesting. So now we're talking about automation in cars, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, the up-resing of stuff or the deep fake of this kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, this is what this technology is really going to allow us to do is that if we're hyper aware of what the problem is, I want you to recognize the difference between this and this, it can get better at that. But if it's like messy and it can't really find it, it doesn't have that insight, and that could be pretty bad in a way.
So when I'm rolling down the five, right? I'm rolling down the five, I'm going south, and I'm in my Tesla, and I don't want to be driving because I want to be watching my movie. And my movie, right, is like just like a movie where I get to pick all of the actors and I can just deep fake in whatever actor into whatever position in the movie, right? Like that's what we're moving towards. Like it's gonna be that kind of world. You're gonna be in a car. Yeah. Waiting to be in LA, just like cruising along, stopping off in Coalinga to get a supercharge midway through.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Angus steak burger or something. And then you're just going to be like, I want everybody in the movie being John Malkovich to not be John Malkovich.
I want them to be pandas.
I want them to all be pandas. And one guy is Danny Trejo and that's it. Like you would just, and then it'll just reassemble. You're watching Macbeth or whatever you're watching, and all of the characters will be pandas.
I don't even think it's going to be a screen. I think you're going to be in an AR helmet and the whole semblance of it. I think the whole semblance of you even having like a structure of like what this is going to start to fall apart. I mean, like you're talking about like, you know, a three act play. Like these structures exist because I want to go to a movie or whatever. But I think content is becoming like so hyper specialized.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like you and I have inside jokes, right? So like if you and I are hyper detailing our content, we're giving each other like it's basically like only you and I are going to understand this content. So right. If we're existing in a world that like pandas are walking around, if somebody else came in there, they'd be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Why is there one Danny Trejo? Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of makes the mind boggle like what our hyper content would be like, right? Especially with Danny Trejo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only reason to tune in when you have an all panda Macbeth is the one Danny Trejo who's pulling it all together. Your McDuff is Danny Trejo in that situation. You're going to need a hero.
Out damn panda spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, this is where we're going. So if we're all going to be making our own content and then, like, you know, kind of like the webcomic thing that I was telling you before.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, so if we're all making these, like, movies and sharing them on what's effectively our Instagram stories or whatever the fuck it is.
Whatever the fuck it is.
How do we make money? How is anybody going to be making money? Like,
Yeah. Well,
what is there going to be to do?
Right. And then, and again, it's like, what exactly are we pushing for it? And right. Do you ever play the game Civilization, Sid Meier's Civilization?
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah.
Civ 5 was rad.
So what are we pushing like for here? Bad. Are we pushing for like a cultural victory, an economic victory, like a science victory? Are we trying to go to the moon? What are we trying to do with all this stuff? I think is what it boils down to. Right. It's like, there's no economic victory. Cause like, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, it is if you win,
right?
Like if you're Jeff Bezos,
but what's Jeff Bezos going to be 10 years from now? Because like, look at the Zuckerberg thing, look at the Facebook thing. Like 10 years ago, 2009 looked really great. Like he was just like, yay! Now he's just like getting pulled in front of Congress. They're just like slapping him on the dick all the time. Just like get right, the
he's
fuck.
Writing posts in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry. And like,
sorry, I'll wear suits.
That shit's gonna happen to Jeff Bezos too. Like, look at the mid '80s and AT&T.
If he's just Lex Luthor with a bunch of drones behind him, right? I mean, that's all it's going to be. It's just like he's just going to be automated. I mean, that's my concern is that there's going to be one trillionaire, and then the rest of us are just going to be sitting around going, "Well, fuck, that was interesting."
Yeah. What do we do now? And then, like, I feel like the trillionaire will be like, "I don't know what to do either." Like, because I don't know what. After a while, it's like he only needs like a certain number of people to bring him, you know, coffees and blowjobs. And, you know, cocaine. And I don't know, like he can't do too much cocaine. He's a trillionaire. You know, he's got to manage that shit.
Yeah, I guess.
So
I mean, let me throw this at you. It's like, have you ever heard this argument? This is the argument I always get against whenever I go down this path with people. Creative people, whether you're an animator or an actor or a poet or whatever the fuck, right? Like your focus is to be creative. They're always creativity is safe, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Like a machine learning agent cannot learn how to be creative. But like routinely we've seen, oh, well, they're never going to beat you at Go. They're never going to win at chess. They're never going to be able
now
to
– Now they're creaming us at chess. They're knocking our dicks in the dirt at StarCraft 2.
And StarCraft is going. And,
yeah.
And we're giving the tools away to everybody. Like – Right. I don't think anybody is safe.
And then what are we going to do? Are we not even going to play the fucking video games anymore? Like just the video games. We're not even going to play them. We're going to have the AI fight each other.
I mean, yeah. What do you think it's going to be? Do you think it's going to be like auto racing where we kind of like are all building AI bots and then we're just like watching them play against each other?
Or are we even watching them? Because like we're like we can't even do that. Well, like we'll do this and then when they're racing, like we're going to be off somewhere else, like doing another thing. Cause like, you know what I mean?
Watching pandas, you
watching
know,
pandas kick the shit out of Danny Trejo. Oh, I would never wish that on Danny Trejo. I love him.
It all comes back around.
He's an intensely scary
person.
I don't want
to. I mean, this is a thing that like, and lots of people are talking about this. And it's not making me feel like – obviously Google knows that I'm obsessed about this because it keeps feeding me this shit.
It
like
keeps feeding you little platters of fear. Hey, Nye.
But they're
like trying to sleep. Nye.
Did you see this one? Did you see how AI is going to take over this? Hey, psst, did you see how AI is going to do this?
I know your kids just woke up, but Nye, click.
Just click on this one. Just click on Just click. So there's this guy who's going to run for president. He's right across your bay right there. I think he's in San Francisco.
He's in San Fran.
So he's – I forget his name, but you know he's just a tech guy whose whole platform is about UBI, Universal Basic Income.
Oh, yeah.
It's because there's a lot of your ilk, a lot of your friends up there in the Bay Area are talking about how AI is going to make all of our jobs irrelevant. And so they're coming up with this idea to basically say, oh, well, we'll just pay everybody. Like,
hey, everybody, just sit around.
Just sit around.
At that point, like, we'll all just sort of park it next to the bums. Like, I'm not even sure where the bums are allowed to be in San Francisco anymore. For a while, you know, like south of Market was safe, but that is no longer the case. And I'm not sure.
Dude, have you been to Hollywood anytime recently?
What part?
Like, Hollywood. Dude, like you drive through Hollywood now. It really is. Considering Los Angeles is supposed to be the wealthiest, like,
is it a fucking shanty town? What are you telling me?
Yeah, dude, there is just everywhere, and there's people just sleeping on the street without even shanty.
Oh, like, I mean, that sucks.
It really is sad how we're treating people in Los Angeles.
I'm fucking amazed by the stuff I drive by. There's always like rotating campuses, like, or encampments is what I mean to say. And they're always actually pretty close to where Oakland police are, like, over on this side by underpasses and stuff like that. They're always, you know, underpasses have roofs, you know?
Yeah.
And they're always sort of over there, and that's where the Oakland police train. And yeah, man, they've, you know, they'll be at a place for 3 or 4 weeks, and then, you know, people will come in and just, you know, tear it all down. It's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. It's, you know, California's got an epidemic there. California has some PG&E problems too. I mean, like, California doesn't have a lot of.
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, what's supposedly a wealthy state, we have a shit ton of problems.
We have a lot of problems. Yeah. It's a big state though. So it's good that we have a lot of problems because we're big. And so you wouldn't want to live, you know, you want to spread it around so that everybody gets a taste.
But let me ask you this. Should I really be this obsessed about this shit?
I think you should. I mean, I think everyone like is thinking about it all the time. Look at the movies.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think anybody is. I really don't think anybody thinks this is a big deal at all. And I think anyone who thinks it's a big deal is like,
are we all just looking at like 17-year-olds on Instagram just giving us that duck lip look? Is that what we're doing? It's like everybody taking this selfie where they're just all looking with their duck lips. Just like while they're having their coffee or whatever the fuck it is, like that's what we're doing.
But you won't even need to do that. You'll just tell your
machine learning,
your assistant, hey, I want to just like post duck lips for the next hour and a half, and I'll just auto generate.
Here are all the duck lip women that you wanted to see, and
just,
Danny Trejo.
Just
Danny Trejo.
And on that, I think we
should get out of here before we incur the wrath of Machete. I don't want to be hurt by him.
All right, well, why don't you listen to some jam? We're gonna come back for one last little bit of fluff. Hopefully, it wasn't too depressing.
It sounds a little depressing, but I think the thing is that it's interesting because that shit's gonna come down on us like in our lifetime. Fucking soon, motherfuckers.
Because we're a big deal.
Yeah, we're a big deal. And we bring big deal stuff to you guys. Also, if you're the AI right now and you're listening, remember, we're a big deal. And you should probably treat us as such. All right. I'm glad I just saved us. We're good now.
Meetup or I'm in a co-working space in Long Beach now.
Right. So what's the name of the? Is it a WeWork? Are you at a WeWork?
No, it's actually the WeWork is like the McDonald's of co-working spaces.
Think that right? WeWork.
Yeah, it's this place is called WeLabs, which is like the Work Evolution Laboratories, which is kind of like what I like in a co-working space because they kind of are like, hey, entrepreneurs, you should, you know, try to support them. So Long Beach is up and coming, and it's a growing community. So I'm kind of digging being here because I feel that it's only because no one can afford to live in fucking Los Angeles anymore. So there's just like this huge influx of people because there's nowhere else to go. You can't go to Highland Park. You can't go to Echo Park. I mean, everyone's out of Venice. Venice is just like locked.
Yeah, Venice is gone, and even the parts that are around downtown. But isn't that?
Like, yeah, the downtown area is pretty much full, and like even the areas that are like bad, like the Comptons and whatever of the world, those are all being bought up. Like Amazon is buying warehouses and stuff.
Oh
like that.
My
so
god!
Like, Long Beach actually has
Englewood, always up to no good. Yeah,
yeah. So, anyways, Long Beach, up and coming. Love this place. Anyways, welcome back to our final segment. You were listening to some Jen Remington. You can find out more about her and her music at Hey Dog. That's HEYDOGG.com. We're actually going to have her on the show, hopefully, again next week. We were going to have her on Wednesday, but everything crapped out and life fell apart. So,
and I think I've got sort of a firm idea that Ben will be, we're going to record him on the 3rd. And I think we're going to, you know, release that just as soon as we can after that. But yeah, we'll have Ben.
Yeah, we'll see if we're going to get PJ back. That would be great too. And then the thing about, Jen, we're going to do, what is it that we did?
Oh, fantastical,
fantastical sidekicks.
Yeah.
So we'll do what we did with, fantastical weapons. And so for those of you who, like,
can't get enough. Yeah.
I mean, we had a couple of people I know write us with their choices for fantastical weapons. So, you know, if you got choices for fantastical sidekicks, the same kind of format as we did last time, feel free to leave it on our social media channels, whatever they are, the Facebooks of the world and the Instagrams and all that kind of crap. So,
yeah, because those two are not the same thing. They are completely separate entities. Instagram is very different from Facebook.
They all lead to Mark Zuckerberg's ass.
I only share my most intimate moments and all my medical history on Instagram. I never do that on Facebook because it's very different. It's very different. I'm going to what was the one before all this? It was like MySpace. I'm going to fucking MySpace. I'm gonna give Justin Timberlake his money back.
I remember, dude, I'm so fucking old that I remember when Friendster, I went to a party.
Oh my God, Friendster. Yeah.
And people were like, hey, are you in Friendster? Like,
what?
No, I'm not. I'm supposed to check it and like, you know, whatever. So we got some great shows coming up. I wanted to do a recommendation, though.
Okay.
So, you know, my wife has been working some night shifts and I've been exhausted and I can't do anything except lie on the couch. And so I'm so sick of just like going into Netflix and watching 30 seconds of something and then going back to the next. I got to find a fucking movie. So I found a documentary. It's on iTunes. It's about Gary Winogrand.
Who is Gary Winogrand?
So he is a photographer. He's one of the greatest photographers of the 20th century. It's tough to recognize individual photographs since he like shot just millions and millions and millions of photographs, but sure. He's pretty much one of the more defining, photographers of the age. And this documentary, I just really hit me in the right place because I think the guy is just, I felt like such a kinship with the way he talked, with the things that he did. And it was all about just keep moving, right? Like he just went out and shot every single day. And so there was this mindset in art photography. He started off as like a journalist for magazines and whatever, and he did the thing. And so he was working with all these other photographers who would wait for magazines to contract them. And then they would go out and shoot.
He
was like, fuck that. I'm just shooting. Like if somebody's paying me, great, I'll give it to him. But I'm out there and he just like shot and he 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 shot. And some people say, well, this phase of his life, was this back when he was like
physical, like film camera, like kind of thing?
Yeah, this is like 1950 to like I think his heyday was kind of like the 60s and the 70s, right? And so he did he did things in the 50s and the 60s. And then he did some in the 70s and then he died in 84. So it was all dark room. He mainly shot black and white because color was just so difficult.
Expense.
But there's some great clips of him talking about what it is to be an artist and what it is to move forward. And there's a couple of great clips of him talking to his friend. And it reminded actually of like what we're doing here. Like, cause he was, the voiceover stuff, just sort of like talking about creativity and everything. Anyways, it's sort of one of the best things I've seen in recent weeks.
What was the title again?
His name is Gary Winogrand.
It's just called the Gary Winogrand documentary.
It's like Gary Winogrand : a life of something or a photographer's life or something. Anyways, it won some awards at, you know, Sundance or some shit. Something, whatever. But it was great. And just like, there's so many documentaries about artists and various shit that's out there, but like this one, you know, really, really hit me. So I thought I would pass it on and give it the good word, especially because the guy needs some heat because I think his work is pretty solid and he definitely, I don't know. Certainly, I'm going to go back and look at his work after watching this.
Right on, man. I will totally. And it's iTunes. You have to go through it that way.
It might be on Amazon or something else.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's our show for this week.
Dude. Yeah, man. Super Bowl. Woo!
Oh, Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't care. We're having people over to have food and watch the commercials. Which, like, I don't know. I think that was like a current observation like 5 years ago. Like, but that's just like that's what I do.
America has won, yeah. Right? Everybody watches the commercials more than they watch the content. We've just won at America.
I have a couple of buddies from like college who have like national ads, and I'm sort of just finger crossing for them that their ad is on like during the Super Bowl because
they can buy you a beer.
I mean, I'm always hopeful, right? I mean, you can always dream that somebody's gonna. It's like the trickle down economics, right there.
I had there was a guy that I worked with when I first moved to LA, and he landed a Taco Bell commercial in a super, like one of the first,
like right out of the gates. Oh, that's
just like right out of the gates. Oh, and he was just like, this is amazing. And then
this is how it is in LA.
I don't think he like worked for like 5 years after that. Yeah. And I was just like, this is how it is.
Right. And somewhere in that third year, he's like sitting at some place and they're like, yeah, man, how you doing? Anything from after the Taco Bell commercial?
He's like, calling Taco Bell. Hey, Taco Bell, you got any more of those checks?
You got, that's really good money, dude. That's really good. Especially when he first moved out there, because that was back when, like, national commercials would pay $100,000. Now it's,
yeah. It's a trickle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with Jen and some other great stuff. So thanks for joining in on us, and watch out for the robots.
Yeah. Watch out for, they already know about you, but. Secret weapon is, of course, okay. Danny Trent.
Because we... All right, we'll see you next time.
Get out of here. Just turn it off. Turn us off. We don't need any more of this.